This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You have reached the edge of the world.
Welcome back to Dreamland. I'm your monthly guest host, Kelly Chase. Whitley will be back at the helm next week. I have a truly fascinating guest for you today, author and experiencer Tom Matt. Tom has a very unusual psi ability that he calls upsight, which manifests as a holographic overlay in his perception, which allows him to do some pretty remarkable things. It can be a little complicated to explain, so I'll let Tom explain what it is, how it works, and how he came to have this ability in his own words. He'll also share with you the surprising results of a study he did at the Institute of Noetic Sciences under legendary psi researcher and chief scientist Dr. Dean Radin that lends real credibility to the fantastical psi phenomena that he describes. Tom is someone that I met seemingly at random early on in my journey in this field, and his story has become tied to mine in some pretty profound and unexpected ways. I've talked about that part of the story in depth in my Through the Looking Glass series on my podcast, The UFO Rabbit Hole. I'll have that linked up in the episode description so you can check it out if you're interested. Those episodes tell my side of the story, and in today's interview, Tom is going to tell his. But before we begin, I just wanted to take a quick moment to share that the docuseries that I wrote and executive produced alongside director J. Christopher King was released on December 30th. The show is called Cosmosis, UFOs and a New Reality, and it features experts in the field, many of whom I've interviewed on Dreamland, including Whitley Strieber, Jeffrey Kripal, Diana Welsh-Bisulka, James Madden, Michael Masters, Ia Whiteley, Mario Woods, Daniel Elizondo, James Iandoli, and many more. Cosmosis is currently out on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Fandango at Home, Vimeo, YouTube, and Google Play. To find links to platforms, head over to watchcosmosis.com. All right, without further ado, here is my conversation with Tom Matt. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Dreamland. It's so great to have you here.
Yeah, Kelly, I'm excited to be on the show today.
Well, I've been really looking forward. I feel like this interview has been years in the making between you and I, and I'm so excited to dive in. We don't have a ton of time today, so I want to just dive into it because your story is long and complicated and fascinating, and I want to get to as much of it as possible. So let's start with, you have a really unique psi ability. Can you tell us what that is and what it, like how it works for you?
Sure, I can. And I call this ability that I have, I call it upside vision, right? And upside vision is the ability to see and interact with holographic images that are everywhere around me, around us, I say. And not only can I see them and I can interact with them, sometimes they're coming from me, sometimes I pick them up like I'm picking up a radio station. And let me tell you that what they're not, because it's every time I say this, people are like, that's an imagination. It is different than an imagination in that these holographic images are outside of me and I pick them up, as I said. So if you think of a mind's eye, right, my background is in advertising and marketing, and I made my business, you know, laying out a poster or an ad campaign, and I would think in my mind's eye, okay, would that go here? Maybe this would go there. This is not that, right? I cannot drive a car, do upside vision. If you and Kelly, if you and I were sitting in the car and I was driving and you said, hey, do you remember that Jaws poster from the 70s? And I could drive the car and I could picture the poster in my mind. I could see the shark. I could see the lady swimming. I could see everything because that's a very vivid mind's eye. Now, if you say, Tom, look, can you recreate or manifest that image with upside vision? There's no way I could drive the car, right? I have to literally stop, you know, driving or shift my attention. I focus. And this image, or as close to it as will be, will manifest in front of me. Now, what's really interesting about this is that typically they're one color, almost like a clear mezzotint, and they're always moving. There's nothing ever static. Now, there's two examples I give when I talk about this. One of them, most people have seen it if they still can't get a hold of what it is. There's a movie called The Queen's Gambit on Netflix about 5 years ago. The protagonist would lay in the bed. She'd look at the ceiling and she'd see the chess pieces. They were kind of smoky and she can move them because she was a chess player and she can move them in her mind and think about the moves ahead. It looks like that. Another thing that people I use is the example of Tony Stark in the movie Iron Man, when he's in his office, there are scenes where he's surrounded by these holographic images and he can move them and swipe them. I can't obviously do, maybe it's not obvious. I can't do that. Now I can move them, but I can't, you know, move my hand and swipe them. So that's kind of what they look like. It's a single tint. They're not full color, right? They're not these full color images when you think of it. I can interact them, share them with a thought, interact them with a thought. Sometimes they're helpful. Sometimes they're nonsense. Sometimes they're trickster. Sometimes they're clear and completely clear. Like, let me give you an example on the clarity, because this in the very beginning was very confusing. I could see, let's see, the circulatory system of a body or what looked like it would be, right? But I wouldn't know if that's what it was because it would not stay and I could not hold it long enough. It looks exactly like what you think something is, but for holding these images for any length of time, and I'll define length of time in this instance for 30 seconds to a minute, is difficult. They just move. They constantly, constantly move. So that's what it is. Sometimes they're knowledgeable. And I'll say one other thing. The place I'm accessing, I wrote a book called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness, right? And it's about my, it's about how I acquired this gift. We'll get into that in a minute. But the place I access, I called it in the book Schizopedia. Because it was a little schizophrenic, right? Not helpful, lies. But it was also this Wikipedia type intelligence too. There was something that was there, but I couldn't, it took a minute to get the nuance to discern which was which. Since then, I've called it the organic metaverse. Since then, it's like maybe it's Akashic record. Maybe it's the Higgs field. Maybe it's the noosphere. Maybe it's the book of life. Maybe it's this hidden biosphere. There are so many things that it might be. That I've said it might be. Slowly I've come to the conclusion that maybe there's this hidden biosphere. Not maybe, there's definitely a hidden biosphere or a hidden biosphere that humans can't see. And there's also this place that holds this Akashic record. They're not the same thing. They seem to be the same thing. At least for me, they're not the same thing. Now, where one stops and the other one starts, or one starts, the other one stops, that's a little bit more difficult to figure out. But That's kind of what I've been doing. And I've been doing this for 12 years and it's a psi ability. There's lucid dreaming elements. There's telepathy elements. There's remote viewing elements. There's astral projection elements. There's so many elements of this that I'm not as good at, these people that are expert in these psi abilities. But what I am good at and what is extraordinary, what I have been tested on, is the ability to see these holographic images. It's like I'm picking up a radio station that's broadcasting holographic images. And I can, you know, once I'm tuned in, I can have a conversation.
It's so fascinating. And I feel like, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a few years. And I still, when you're talking about it, I find new things in what you're saying that I'm just like, what? it's just such a, it's just so strange and fantastical, like what you're saying. And can you explain a little bit more about what it's like in your day-to-day life? Like, if you're just going about your average day, how does UpSight kind of manifest for you in just an average day?
Yeah, great question. And let me tell the audience, and many people probably know what this word is, but when I was researching the brain, and by the way, I had two MRIs, because when something like this happens to you, you're like, oh my God, there's something pressing on a part of my temple. And it's horrible, and something bad's going to happen. I have this gift, but it's got a curse. There's no damage from any kind of stroke, lesion, damage from drug use. There's nothing wrong with my brain. There's nothing implants in there or anything like that. I can just do this. So that's important, number one. Number two, I looked up the word umwelt, right? Or I came across the word umwelt. That is the way a biological organism moves through their environment, right? You and I, humans, share Earth. Same environment with bats. We share Earth with cats. We share with mosquitoes, all these other living creatures. Even though we're sharing this same Earth with them, the way we navigate this planet is not the same thing, right? Bats see, or they use sonar, right? Whatever happened, I'm still convinced of this, that my umwelt, the way I navigated Earth, has evolved. What I saw before, I see more of what is there. Now, as far as interfering or getting in the way of my daily activity, it does not. I have to shift my attention to it. So unless I sit there and say, oh, what's happening over here, it will not interfere with me. Now, when I, in the beginning, when I would go to bed, right, I would lay a damn bed and I'd be like, there would be some image, right? Some image would always be there. I was like, okay, you know what, Tom, just literally manifest or think about a stream laying next to a brook or a river or an ocean. And that's what you look at as you're going to bed. So that was like, it was also a good meditation tool. So as far as interfering with my daily activity, nothing. As far as helping me navigate the world and information I'm getting and how can this help me? Because my wife is like, this is the greatest. I mean, everyone thinks of this. How can you use this to get ahead in the world? Because it's so extraordinary. Now, obviously, there's a creative element that I can see these things, which I always had. Now, we'll get to this, definitely get to this in a minute. I think this is about communication. I think this is ultimately about nonverbal communication. And if you've been watching the telepathy tapes, you know these children with autism are doing this with their parents. I know I'm communicating with something. What this non-human intelligence is we can talk about that too. So there's a communication element to it, but there's also a download information. Like I'm getting information that's useful for me. And like in the long term, let me give you an example. We won't go into this too much, but there is this, and I'm not a mathematician, right? I became obsessed with math when I came out of this crisis. We'll talk about in a minute. And I started doing a bunch of research on math, but I built this, Google Earth for math or whatever you want to, Cartesian coordinate system on steroids. I built this in my head and I've got this whole thing together. So that for me is something I'm going to be doing. And again, I've been saying this on podcasts for the last 2 years, but I am going to be doing it. It's just hard to build, right? I mean, this is like a multidimensional fluid system that is not simple to construct. So even if it's difficult for me trying to tell somebody else how to build it is itself going to be a challenge, but it's something that can certainly be done. So there's a lot there. Sometimes non-human intelligence come in and there's an exchange of information. Here, let me pause here. Let me finish with this and then we can go. You know, people call themselves star seeds. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen that are star seeds on that. I don't feel like that's what's happening to me, right? I'm not given privileged information. Nobody's saying this is your background. This is where you are. This is where we're from. If anything, the privilege is like, okay, look here and maybe we're going to help you figure this out, right? Maybe we can point like, look over there. That's the best I get from this. And it's a lot. I shouldn't say that's the best I get. That's significant. But as far as literally answering questions, it's not that I don't get that kind of information. And again, you can see non-human intelligence things there. Anyway, I went on for a minute there, but did I answer your question?
No, that was great. That was great. Speaking of the non-human intelligence angle, can you talk about what that looks like? Is it like mostly grays that you're seeing? Do you ever see any other kinds of beings? Like how does that manifest?
So the first, this is going back a dozen years. And I didn't know I was remote viewing and astral projecting. I just thought I was looking at these things, these holographic images. I didn't know where they're coming from. And I still don't. Let's be clear. I have no idea where these holographic images are originating. Okay. That's really important for this conversation. I know once I'm involved, I assume they're originating locally from my response, right? So I could just say, imagine you're a drone flying through the sky and then go out in the stars and stuff like this. So I would just do that day in and day out. I stumble on this ship. I can't remember what the outside of the ship looks like. I'm inside of this ship. I don't know where it was. And this is one of the most wild remote viewing astral projection experiences I ever had. In the beginning, this happened, which I think is important. There were a dozen gray aliens, right? They were standing in a circle around this, what looked like a clear sphere table, right? It looked like it was empty. And I'm watching them and I'm like, what are they doing? It was so weird. Why would they be standing around this empty table? As I got closer, I realized that the table wasn't empty. There was a holographic town. It's a city, a town, and the grays, and there were people walking around, and the gray's eyes, every gray had a certain part of this circle. They had a 360 view, and they had a certain amount of coverage, And when the person would go from one gray's eye to the other one would pick it up. And I'm watching this and I'm going, I'm sitting there. I'm like, are they remote viewing something else? And as this happened, two of the grays turned to look at me, right? They see me looking at them and they came towards me just like curiously. And I jumped out. I mean, I was shocked. Again, I had no idea what remote viewing was. I had no idea what remote astral projection was. I had no idea once they see you, once you see them, they can see you. The eye contact is kind of a big deal. So, Olaf Rockner is a Swedish artist. He has a great illustration. If you go to my Twitter feed, you can find it on there. If you go to my Instagram page, or if you go to any of, actually go to my YouTube channel, Upside Vision Tom Matt, you can see this image there. And so the grays were there a lot from the beginning. Were they helpful? No, not even a little bit. In fact, they were nuisances, literally nuisances. I would be working on something, literally trying to figure out a math problem, right? I'd be like, okay, what's this? And a gray would just show up and just like, it's like push you, shove you. And you're like, just to get your attention. And I still can't actually for the life of me figure out what they were trying to do. That just seems so like a waste of time for them. I don't know it wasn't like I was onto some great mathematical, I was trying to solve the Riemann hypothesis. I was just doing some homework or whatever. It was very strange. And they know our culture. I've been flipped off by grays. And I think when that happened the first time, it was the most amusing thing that ever happened. I kid you not. And then I've had one good experience. I talk about that on a YouTube. I did a YouTube, 25 minute YouTube video. I talk about that one really good, positive gray experience. But grays, mantises, never, ever, ever have I seen a tall white.
Mm.
That fascinates me because I can't bring them up. I've never seen a tall white. That intrigues me. I don't know why. So any traditional and some non-traditional non-human intelligence, I've seen most of them. Now, again, there's no conversation going on. I'm going to be honest. This is like you see them. I liken it to walking into the Amazon jungle, right? You walk into the Amazon jungle because I can do this. Whatever this is, other beings are in this field or in this space. So you're in there. It's not your space. You're a visitor. Now, these beings, maybe they're there. Maybe they're visiting too, but there's hundreds of life forms there. Some of them will ignore you. Some of them may be curious about you. Some of them are indifferent. But the ones that do, like once you make eye contact, something, there's like curiosity or boredom or whatever. So that's the kind of intelligence that I see in these spaces, right? Some of them are scary. And if you jump out, you can stop it. It's not like a possession or anything like that. So you can jump in and out. That said, what's the thing where the hitchhiker effect? I feel like I understand the hitchhiker effect, right? Same as if a kid goes into the woods and he catches a salamander because he catches it and it brings it home. This is the opposite. This is if this being sees you and is interested in you and they know you can see it, it can follow you home and mess with you, right? Kind of an inverse of that. So yeah, a lot of different things I've seen.
Something I'd love to ask you about real fast is you've talked to me before about how you saw with Upsight kind of the anatomy of grays, that you feel like you understand something about their things about their anatomy. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen?
So yeah, all right. So that's good because I saw a very specific thing. Now here's the thing about Upsight too. Again, I said it, I touched on it about the trickster element. It could show me something that's graphic and perfectly defined and everything like that, but it's not true, right? So from what I see, half organic or partially organic and partially silicon or whatever you want to call it, man-made or some other thing. Now, the thing I saw was nanotech. It was like a nanotech gray with organic matter. Now, I don't know if that's true. Right. I don't feel like that may be the case. And here's why, because sometimes when I see them, it's a different inside, right? It's not like, it's not the same inside I saw before. Again, think about those old school robotic with the wires and stuff like that. So there's kind of like that kind of any kind of like the old Alien movie, where the guy was organic and he's the original robot from the Aliens movie, kind of like that. I don't know if it's true. I know that Upside shows me metaphors, right? I know it'll show me like one of the funniest ones at the beginning. I'm like, what? How do I get this done? And there was a picture of an elbow in an oil pan, right? And it was grubbing like that. And I was like, wait, elbow grease? I need to do more work? I mean, that was the answer. I'm like, wait, this thing has a sense of humor. There's something about this that, you know, it's like, this is what it's going to take. And there's many, many instances of things like that.
That's fascinating.
I don't know if it's true, but that's what I see.
That's fascinating. Part of the reason I asked that is Whitley has a new book that's just out called The Fourth Mind, where he actually talks about, you know, what he knows about grays, including their anatomy. So I just think it'd be interesting if you want to read that at some point and just like kind of compare his.
Yeah, I would be very curious to read that because my experiences are not like his at all. They're not like most people's. Again, I've never been in a, well, that's again, there was one time I may have been in a room with a gray, but I was asleep. You know, that's the, and I woke up and my head is 6 inches above my bed and I woke up and my head fell back into the pillow and I'm like, wait, did that really happen? It was one of those lucid dreaming / coming out of something. That was a while back too.
Very interesting. Yeah, I'd love to talk to you after you get a chance to read Whitley's book, because I think that will be really interesting. So let's talk about how we got here. So something that I really admire about you, Tom, so much is that it's just how honest and courageous you've been through this whole process. You know, you and I have been talking for a couple of years, and it took me a long time to catch up to the place where I had a deep sense, like in my soul, that you were telling the truth, but I had no way to like frame what was going on with you. And I admire how much you've just told the truth the whole time about what has happened to you and how you've experienced it. And so let's talk a little bit about how you came to have Upside, because it's like not the most, it's a terribly interesting story, but it's like not the most convenient story if you're trying to convince people that like you're not crazy, right?
No, in fact, you know, it's funny too, because, you know, I sit there and think, why did it have to happen this way? But it makes sense. The farther I get from it, the more it makes sense, because everything I knew had to come crashing down. So yeah, let me tell you a little bit about my backstory. As I said, I wrote a book called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness. The story is about my struggle with addiction going back a dozen years. Specifically, it's about this 1 year in my life, from almost for the entire year of 2012. Now, I had an advertising agency in Atlanta. I owned it for 20 years. I was in recovery, right? I would get 5 years sober, I'd pick up. I'd get 3 years sober, pick up. That's kind of the story. This time, and I had 5 years sober this time when I picked up. But this one, when I picked up, something was different, right? I had psychotic thoughts. I was literally almost instantly disconnected from reality. I thought my children were aliens. I thought my business was a front for another business empire. I thought government satellites were following me around. Now, not only just I think it, I believed it so much that I walked out on my business because I didn't think it was mine. I walked out on my family because I didn't think they were mine. I literally left everything running, successful family, everything. And I emptied my bank accounts and I flew around the globe spending my money in a psychotic haze. I ultimately ended up homeless, penniless, and I checked myself into a psychiatric treatment hospital because I'm like, and if you have any idea about addiction, people who are addicted to drugs, and cocaine was my drug of choice, so that's important. If you ever, you don't spend all your money, you always want to have some money for drugs. My executive function area of my brain wasn't working. It was not working. I was completely disconnected from reality. I would have a thought, I would read an article, or I'd listen to a song and I would think it was true. So much delusion. So check myself in, got clean and sober, and I've been in clean and sober 12 years now, right? So that's important to get, you know, it's funny, take out the drugs, you know, you kind of start settling down, your brain settles down. I'm back with my family. My children love me. They're grown men now. My business did not survive. A lot of things did not survive, but I built a new life and a normal life. Now, coming at the end of that 1 year, I'm sitting on the couch, right? And I'll tell you, this is the first four things. And I don't know if I ever talked to you about this, Kelly, too, because they're so obvious that not only what they were, but what they symbolize. The first four things I saw, I'm on the couch. And by the way, the first time I did it, I was on coke. But I knew, even when I was happening, I'm like, I don't have to be on drugs to do this. I just knew with this instinct. It was the back of a dinosaur, blood cells moving through a body, a slot machine, and then the Grim Reaper, right? Those four things. And if you think about what those four holograms are, they're, I mean, it's our life, right? It's past, life, history, life, survival, and then death. So there's like a cycle there. So those were the four. And I got, again, I got clean and sober then. And I knew that this is really, really, really interesting, at least from my perspective. So I knew if anyone was going to take this serious, I had to be clean and sober, right? But also, this is where it crosses over into the non-human intelligence. During my wild year, I had experiences with non-human intelligence, right? And I wrote about them in my book, but I wrote about them in a ways that kind of minimized them. There were some wild things that happened. There were some ridiculous, embarrassing things that happened. I knew it needed to be in the book. I wanted to tell it, but I wanted to more emphasize the part that I thought traditional scientists could get wrapped their head around, which was the changes in my brain. I thought we'd get a clinician, we'd figure out what was going on, and we could measure that. So I wrote about it in the book, but I didn't make it a big deal, right? The reason I'm saying this, Kelly, is because you and I both met in Dr. Diane Pasulk's class 3 years ago, and one of the things she says is how people who experience non-human intelligence do self-reduction. That is exactly what I did and what I needed to do at a time. And I didn't even talk about that publicly until Avril Haines, the director of national security, is in the cathedral. I think it was the Catholic cathedral, November of 2021. And she said extraterrestrials. And I'm like, look, if our government is talking about it, and even though I was wasted for most of the year and these things did happen, I did build this big map of a galaxy in my room. So what if I was drunk most of the time? So what if I was high? I still did it, right? Maybe there's an element that really was dealing with non-human intelligence. And if you think about it, I mean, when we deal with animals, we get them high, we drug them up, right? We make them manageable. I know there could be an element there. Now, I was coerced. What's the word when somebody's taken out of their bed? I was abducted. I've never been abducted. I cannot say that. Could I have been coerced because of what they saw in my brain? Obviously. So we've got that. I left it at the beginning. I talked about my book. I launched it during COVID. I was going to be a mental health speaker because my background was in marketing and mental health. I was going to talk about recovery. COVID happened. We were going to study my brain, but all this stuff got put on hold. Eventually, I did have somebody, study how I can do this. But what was wild, I sat on for 6 years to talk about this non-human intelligence because I wasn't comfortable with it. So I completely understand what you're saying about not being comfortable with it. And even now I'm not going to talk about this in some company. It's just that, there's no point. There's literally no point in talking to you about it. People don't take it serious. I'm fine. We don't have to. There's so many other cool things happening with Earth and consciousness that we don't have to talk about non-human intelligence at all.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it like developing realizing that upside was happening for you out of, this new ability that you had? And I'm sure that that was a hard thing to communicate to other people. Like, what was it like trying to tell people, especially early on and while you were still processing what was going on? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's been so long now. In the very beginning, I wrote blogs about it. And again, the sobriety thing, I was like, I have to be sober. I mean, nobody's going to take me serious again. And I want to be sober and my life is great sober. And I knew that I wanted to articulate it as simply as possible because it's so fantastical, right? And my wife says, it's really good when you compare it to things people know, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. So even with all of that, it's been a challenge. And the biggest challenge, and it's still a surprise to me, is there's no historical record of anybody talking about seeing and interacting with holographic images. Now, I'll say that if somebody has one, send it to me. But I've done a ton of podcasts and I can't find any. And I even asked a Dr. Pasulka about it in our class. I'm like, she's got to know. She's done UFO religious studies. She said no. So that is so interesting to me, right? It still is to this day. So I feel like part of my mission is to bring this forward in a simple way for the skeptics. Well, they're going to be skeptics. You can't make a not, but the people that are having trouble understanding it. I feel like my challenge or my part of my mission is to bring it so people understand it. Now, what's really cool about this is that, what is it? It's January. Last January, I just started doing a lot of podcasts on this. And I was looking for one person that had this, right? I've got over 1,000 emails, 1,000, I almost probably 2,000 at this point.
That's
people
insane.
That have, yeah, but they have this one version of it or another. And I wrote the 8 stages of upside vision. I wrote this because people that say they have it, they really don't have it to this extent, but they're somewhere on this, what I'll call a spectrum. And again, this is my 8 stages. And I say that very clearly on this. It's not a scientific document, but it's the stages I had to go through and all the different ways I looked at it and the different pieces that made it accessible to me in one way or another. Now, there are a lot of people that have this, and that is validating as hell. And a lot of people have it and are afraid to embarrass to talk about it because, number one, their parents said, don't ever tell anyone you have this. Number two, they're coming out of drugs or addiction. Number three, they don't want to look like an idiot. Now, when I thought the thread was going to be addiction, some kind of neurological changes in the brain, some kind of chemical changes in the brain. When I first started talking about this, it's not. And then, you know, looking back now, maybe people are trauma is the threat. Not everyone, but 99 out of 100 people have had some kind of trauma to upregulate a gene in their brain to give them this ability to one degree or another. At least that's my experience so far.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense with regard to what we know about experiencers and how these things often manifest. That connection to trauma always seems to be there. There's one case that I found really interesting, if you are cool talking about it for a minute, of somebody who's also experiencing something that sounds very much like upsight. I was listening to Danny Jones, and he did an interview with Danny Goler. I believe, am I getting that right? That's his name,
yeah.
Right? So Danny Goler is a guy who has been kind of doing the podcast circuits lately. He's made a discovery. He claims that if you smoke DMT and you shine a laser at a wall, like a diffracted laser, I believe, that if you look at it, you can basically see the matrix. Like you can see code running through the surfaces of things. And while doing DMT over a long period of time, his experience of DMT changed, and he doesn't have like the crazy visuals that everyone else has. But what he does have when he does DMT now sounds like, when he was describing it before he said your name, and he did say your name, I was like, this sounds like upsight, man. I was like, oh,
yeah, right.
I was like, I bet. So you've gotten to talk to Danny. Like, can you talk a little bit about like what your conversations have been like and like how you are interpreting sort of what he's experiencing?
Yeah. Danny and I had a conversation, because we know, well, it feels like we don't know. It feels like these are definitely related, right? And one of the things I want to do is see if I can see this diffracted code without taking DMT.
Right.
Is that right there? That means something in my brain is going to see it. And then maybe I would have to, I don't know why we haven't done it yet. But he also has this other thing that comes up to him. He talks about it. He calls it I don't remember what he calls it. It's kind of like this manifold that comes and shows him, kind of like with upside vision. So we both think that there's something here that is objective. I know mine is objective. We'll talk about the science at IONS in a minute, right? We know it's outside of us. Now, here's what I would like to do with Danny or some other, or a group of scientists or whatever. There's anecdotes, many, many anecdotes about group hallucinations, right? 5 guys tripping on mushrooms. They all see the machine elf, right? They're all high and they're all like, wow, while they're high, they're dealing with it. They come down and they're like, did that happen? Yeah, whatever. How we prove it? That's not what they ask each other. They're like, that was amazing. Can you imagine if I was a control in that room, right? Sober as a church mouse, sitting there. We all see the machine elf. Now it's objective. Now we're all seeing that. Okay, now we're objectively seeing the same thing. The follow-up question is, are we getting the same message, right? That's important. The message is just important as seeing this. Now, I have no idea. Would we all get the same thing? Would they go through, would the machine elf say, this message is for you? This, I don't know. But if that did, if we could prove an objective observation, at least visually, then that changes the conversation. How do we recreate that? So again, the machine elf show up. Do we want the machine elf to show up? Right. So let's say the machine elf doesn't show up, but I manifest an elephant. Now these seven guys are seeing an elephant while they're on DMT. And the guy in the end says, wow, can I turn the elephant into a mouse? Now the elephant changes into a mouse. Now we're talking about some kind of wave, right? A quantum wave, for lack of another word, that we can communicate with. And once we know we can do that, look, I know humanity, we're going to put tons of money into it. We're going to try to figure out how to do it. And then you can do it with somebody on the side of the planet. Well, that's actually where I kind of jumped to the other side of the galaxy. If you could do it there, maybe you could do it anywhere. And from my experience, obviously you can. It's non-local. It's both local and non-local. So we are talking about getting together and doing something. Just the question is when. And I was on Danny Jones too, and we talked about this same thing. That podcast hasn't come out yet. It'll be up in the next month or so. But I kind of ran through the same story there too, because I think that's a very easy to reproduce way. If it works, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's something else. I think I can communicate with somebody with Charles-Bonnet syndrome, right? Charles-Bonnet syndrome is a macular degeneration. Somebody's going blind and the brain starts hallucinating. That's what they call it, hallucinating, right? They start seeing things. These people are freaking out. They don't want to think they're going crazy. I think it's the brain screaming, saying, listen, wait a minute. Your traditional eyes are going blind, but there's another way we can see and communicate. I would love to test. If I was in a room with somebody with Charles-Bonnet syndrome, they are like, okay, I'm hallucinating, air quotes, a woman in a white dress or a woman in a dress. And can you see it? And yeah, I can see that. Now I'm going to change her to a man riding a bicycle. Now, this is the same physiological function. Well, it's not the same. It's just like the idea that our voices are creating sound and our ears are picking it up. There's a part of the brain where deep inside, wherever you want to call it, the pineal gland, that's actually, it's not. I feel it, by the way, it is from my eyes. I feel the muscles, but just that's important. I feel the muscles, you know, pushing out when I do this. So that's significant, and they get tired like any other muscle. Anyway, part of the eye brain that's transmitting and receiving. But until somebody takes it serious, you know, tests won't be done. Studies won't be done.
Well, it seems like you've made tremendous progress over the last couple of years in terms of getting people to take this more seriously. Can you talk a little bit about what that road was like, how long it took for you to get to a place where you had some scientists who were willing to look at this, and then kind of the breakthrough that you had?
Yeah, I can. So imagine me, right? Again, 12 years ago, I'm emailing every scientist. Once I've got the clinicians aside, once I know they're like, this is the clinician answer. Yeah, you probably did a lot of drugs and your brain rewired and reconnected. So, you know, you're experiencing the world in a different way. Well, thank you. I know that, right? And there's no damage. What's most important? There's damage. Okay, so now I'm like, all right, let me email all the neuroscientists you can imagine, anyone that ever wrote a book on the brain and neuroscientists, I sent an email. I would dive deeper. There's a guy that studied the flights of birds and their magnetic, the cones in their eye so they could see the rum lines of the earth and how they fly. Even emailed that guy. I emailed so many scientists saying, listen, my vision is extraordinary. The way I see the world is strange. I want to get in a lab and I can prove it. I could do this in a lab all day long. I don't have to wait for a feeling. I can just do this. Finally. Actually, wait. There was a woman at the Smith Kettlewell Eye Institute that was interested, but COVID happened and that got kicked aside. And for that, I was going to get in an MRI. And I can do this in an MRI. So the second MRI I had, it's important because it's like, wait a minute, I didn't think it was going to happen because I thought it was a magnetic field. And I thought the giant magnets would interfere with my brain you know, doing whatever magnetic field I have, I have to do this, and it wouldn't work. It did work. So that's kind of important for, you know, future studies. So that fell apart. Finally, Dean Radin gets back to me, right? Everyone knows Dean Radin at the Ions Institute. He's a psi researcher way back, the OG, for lack of another word. And he says, well, this is interesting. I'm not sure this is the kind of thing, you know, we're going to study. And I got back up and said, here's if I do this, this, and this. I gave him some of the talking points. He finally says, listen, let me present this to the science team and we'll get back to you. So they presented the science team and Garrett Yao got back to me and he's like, okay, we're interested. What should we study? It's like, cause there's a lot of things we could do, right? What's the first study to make sure there's something there? And this is what him and their team came up with. And this is, we're going to get, by the way, there's a scientific paper, a peer review paper coming out literally any day about my brain state hooked up to an EEG machine, my brain state doing memory recall. Like I said earlier, when we started cover just traditional memory recall and when I'm literally seeing these images in front of me. Now we did 200 randomized testing, right? 200 images would come up. I didn't know what it was going to be. I would think about it in my mind's eye, and then I would see it with upside vision. So that was the test. And they were going to see, okay, what of the brain states, alpha, gamma, beta, theta, what of the brain states are showing differences between when he's using upside and when he's doing memory recall, or if there were in fact any. It was across all brain states. There was a difference across all of them. The biggest or the most obvious was the biggest surprise was the alpha brain state. Maybe it shouldn't have been, but it was. The alpha brain state is when we're relaxed. It's kind of default mode network, right? You're just chill. There's no, when my alpha brain state, when I'm doing upside, there's a lot of work. Even though there's nothing in front of me, there's a lot of work and I'm actually seeing something. And there, the paper talks about it's the prefrontal left prefrontal area. I don't want to pretend I can get into the science of it, about what area is being repressed. And the theta state, now that one I thought was going to show a big difference because that's the dream state and that's where mediums are like kind of active. So that showed a big exchange, a big difference between that and memory recall. So now there is a ground, there is a entry level, finally, or I don't know, the first paper ever about upside vision. And this is great to start with, right? To show that there's something else. What the next one's going to be, two people in the same room doing it, communicating, right? I'll go back to this. I think if somebody else had upside vision like I do, I literally think we could communicate without a doubt. Somebody could come in this room with me if they have upside vision to the ability I do, and we could communicate non-verbally. I absolutely do think that's the case. I need to find that person. I say there's 1,000. All of them don't have it to this ability, and I haven't tested any of them yet. So I don't know.
Do you think you'll wait to do that in a lab, or do you think are you making plans to meet up with people and see how that goes?
Yeah. So by the way, you can't do this with somebody with upside. And so I've tried it with my wife and she's like, Tom, I don't want to play this game anymore. Never works, right? It never works. I've driven to people in Alabama. I had a guy with some kind of telepathic abilities. So I would, of course, I'm not going to wait for a lab. Are you kidding me? These guys are so slow. My God, forget it. Academics are like snails. I can't even imagine how slow they are. If there's somebody said, I have this ability, I could give them a test. I'm not just going to meet anyone. And I think we can communicate. And even somebody with autism, you know, with the telepathy tapes, I've actually started, and I would never have thought about this 2-3 months ago, but I'm like, wait a minute, you know, maybe one of these individuals and their parents, we could do it. Maybe there's something there to be explored. And these are so easy to do, right? You go to someone's house, you set it up, they could do it in the kitchen. This is not, you don't have to have these perfect conditions to do this. It's either going to work or it's not. Now I say that, that's what I think. Maybe they do need to be perfect conditions. And, I don't know, but at least it's easy to try without any scientific, observation, whatever. Just two people doing it.
Yeah. The thing that for me was so incredible is that, you know, you and I have been talking about this and we had been working on a story for the UFO rabbit hole for a long time. And it felt like at the time I was like, gosh, how are we even going to tell this story? Because there wasn't much else to compare it to. But I do think that the telepathy tapes is, to me, I felt with that coming out and gaining such traction that it became easier to talk about this stuff because those the kids, the non-speakers that they are working with in the telepathy tapes, it seems like they also have access to some kind of a, they're not just telepathic, they have access to like a non-physical realm where they're
a field. Yeah, I think so.
And it, which sounds like, you know, very much like something that you're accessing. What are your thoughts on, because I find this remarkable that all of this seems to be coming to be happening, but not just happening, because maybe it's been happening for a long time, but that it's coming into the public consciousness right now. What do you think is going on with all of this? Like, what do you make of it?
I'll tell you. So as I said earlier, how it's helpful, I think this is an evolutionary step of some kind, right? I think we are evolving into this to help mankind for whatever is coming, right? I know it's helped me. I feel like that's happening. And obviously, if there's a communication element, it's so we can communicate in a way we haven't communicated before. I mean, when language was discovered, I mean, from what I understand, it spread through the, you know, it spread very, very quickly. I think this is going to be the same thing. There's going to be this tipping point, and it's all going to suddenly be, you know, spread through the population. And I say, maybe not everybody at first, but if you can dream, right? I think it's the same part of the brain. If you can dream, because you're not in control, but you still see things, you can do this eventually. So I think there's an evolutionary, and so which means it's for survival, which the sad side is that means there's something scary coming, whether it's a climate change that we need this or whatever, but that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. And it does feel like that. That is intuition, right? I have no proof or evidence on that. And again, it has picked up. Let me be clear. I've done this for 12 years. Even at the end of this year, like you said, the telepathy tapes, it's absolutely picked up. And Jake Barber, is that the guy's name that just came out?
Yes.
I just watched. This is interesting because this is fresh on my mind. This is the first I've talked about this to anyone. He says there are they recruit these psionic kids or people in another country to do this, right? To help. Now, first of all, that's like, wait a minute. If they're doing that, why don't they do it here? That seems sketch as heck, right? He says it's all good. It's like, oh, they want to be a part of it. I'm like, well, why don't we do it in America?
Yeah.
Well, but the fact that they're doing something like this, that there's something else going on that people know about, and if it's fact true, and I never trust anything these guys say because you have to take everything with a grain of salt because there's one side and another, but it's certainly been controlled. Obviously, somebody knows something that's going on. You know, there's other people. And again, look, this has been talked about for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's been suppressed. The question is why, what's the payoff of it not being suppressed anymore? That's really the question.
Yes, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. It seems as though, you know, just even the fact that this is being spoken about by the government at all seems as though there must be something coming, or they at least have, they're mitigating the risk of something that they think might happen at the very least, because otherwise they wouldn't be talking about it. Like they don't, you know, in the military, if you talk to like a military guy, they'll tell you, you know, one of the main kind of, one of the main things they say in the military is never get into a fair fight. Like you don't want to do something if you don't know the outcome. And so if they're letting this come out, there's a reason for it. I know you can't tell the future, but do you have a sense? Because I know in the experiencer community and the channeling community and all of these various communities, there is this kind of feeling that there is something coming. Do you have a sense about what that is? Or like, have you seen anything in Upsite that's made you?
What I'll say. No. Okay. So here's what I'll say. If our government is dealing with some non-human intelligence and is communicating with them and they supposedly know what's going on, Upside is telling me they're being played. It's as simple as that. So you're like, wait a minute, you know, because it's the same way somebody, it looks at another, some technology that's so far beyond our understanding and we're so in awe of it that we believe everything they're saying. So I think number one, that's happening. Number two, how do you get past that? And the answer is this. You don't get to the technology. You don't believe this non-human intelligence about their technology. You learn how to do it yourself, right? Right now, we're using AI and trying to get to this place. That's one thing, and that's going to be good. The real, real gigantic step is us accessing this Akashic record in the newest sphere. That's where the leaps are coming from. That is what we need to do. We don't need to trust a non-human intelligence, right? We do not need to trust them. We need to access this place ourselves, our human selves, and figure this out on our own. That was like a science fiction film, but whatever. Not to say we can't have allies, but, you know, teach a man to fish, fish all his life. You know, you give him fish, whatever. We need to find the place and get the answers ourselves. Whoever the deal that's made doesn't seem it's going to benefit the few at the expense of the many, but it's actually going to screw the few. That's the future. They think gave me to bill. It's going to bite them in the ass and it's not good. That's all I can say about it. Cause that's all I know. And I don't even know if I know that true. I just know that keeps coming back. And by the way, the stuff that keeps coming back, this precog element, the stuff that keeps coming back again and again, seems to be true. Right. The stuff that goes and is fleeting. No, but if it comes back again and again, it seems to like it's going to be true. And you know, you and I, we've seen that same thing, you know, from a quantum level. I don't even want to get into that now, though. The candy canes on the DNA, but that's the answer to your question. I don't know what it is, but I don't believe that what we have planned is going to happen. I think we're going to be, I feel like we're being played for some reason.
Yeah, it seems very murky, right? Like everyone has a sense that something's coming, but there's zero consensus really on what that is. You have, speaking of, you know, that this is, and this is actually something I've heard from many, many experiencers from all kind of different modalities, this idea that like we all as humanity have the ability, have psi abilities far beyond what we recognize, and that it's essential that at this moment, for whatever reason, that we develop those abilities. You have created, I believe it's the 8 steps of Upsight. Is that correct? And to try to help people tap into that themselves, can you talk about like that process and how you developed that and has it worked for anyone yet?
So, all right. So here's the number one thing. I don't teach people how to do Upsight because I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like I'm an expert in it. Right. And not only that, I don't think everyone wants to do this. If you sit there and look to the side, you see a holographic images of a baby, anything dead and gross and scary. I don't want to say, go ahead and do that. I don't want to say, because everything isn't beautiful in this space. It's horrible. And any horrible thing one human being can do to another, you can see in this space, and it's not okay. Sometimes it's like disgusting. The flip side is any beautiful thing you can do, you can see in the space. So that said, the one thing I will say is this, and by the way, the 8 stages are the stages I went through, right? It's not teaching at all. It's just the stages I went through, but I think it could be helpful to you, especially if you already think you have it to some degree. But if you don't and you want to know one thing, here's what I can confidently say that might work to see if you have it. And to be clear, I think it's like singing, right? Maybe everybody can sing, but everybody can't be Celine Dion or Frank Sinatra, right? I think it's like running. Everybody can run, but very few people can run a 4-minute mile. This is like that, I think. Okay. So if you want to see if you have this, get in a hypnagogic state, which is kind of sit on a couch, meditate, or right before you go to sleep, that waking dream state that everyone gets in right before their head falls back and they get in that state. If you're sitting there and you're literally with your eyes shut, do it with your eyes shut, and you see manifest, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, just an image of some, think of the image. If it shows up, right? If you're like, oh my God, I'm seeing a silhouette or this outline of this thing, all you need to do, first of all, that's a huge win. That's huge. That's like this a step. The second one is if you can sit there and say, that's an elephant, right? And then you're like, change it to a bat. If you can change it to a bat with a thought, who knows what the next steps are, right? You've proven you can manifest it, and you can prove you can change it with a thought. That's the tips I can give you. And the rest is up to you, because you can do it. You know, listen, if you're obsessed with it and and you can get one. In the beginning, I would sit for hours and hours and hours and do this because I wanted to share with everyone. Actually, at first I was like, God, I want to be the only one to have this. And I'm like, no, that sucks. You don't want to be the only one that has this. That's not cool. That's no, not even a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure that must be isolating in some ways, especially over a long enough period of time. What do you hope happens next? Like, where do you hope this goes? What do you hope that listeners take away from this conversation? Like, how do you hope that Upsite contributes to the overall conversation that's happening right now?
Hope, and that we are connected to something more than we know, and that something more is good. Okay. It is ultimately good and here for us. You could sit there and use loving kindness. You could sit there anything you want to do, but it is a positive thing. Even though you see things that are not positive, this ability and what it is meaning to is positive because we're connected to each other and something more, right? That's the thing, the message of hope. And maybe that doesn't sound like it, but that really is it. And a communication element too. And the intelligence. And intelligence, a survival, right? All those things. Let me tell you one story too, real quick, about somebody that had this. This woman wrote this was a Reddit post she wrote 5 years ago, but she put it on my Facebook page just the last 6 months. She was talking about a time when she was a kid. She was like 11 or 12. She was sitting on a bed with her girlfriend. They had a sleepover. And she said to her, this is kind of the story. She goes, do you ever get those things where you can see things floating in front of you, right? These images. And her friend, said, like, you mean like the two fish that we see now, that I see now? And she goes, what? You see that? Right? So these two 11-year-old girls saw these two fish floating in front of them. And they're like, wow, this is incredible. They talked about it. Great. That's the story of the night. The one girl moved away, right? They moved away. They lost touch. The other girl, as she got older, she lost the ability in her 20s, right? And they moved away. The reason this is interesting is she reached out to this person after they lost touch for 20 years. They found Facebook like people did a while back. And she asked if she remembered the story. And she did. The point of that is maybe we even have it stronger as children, but we just dismiss it. That's something to really think about. And that obviously from all the stories and things you hear about, anything makes complete sense, you know, nurturing an ability in children.
Yeah, that's really fascinating.
So what was your question though? Because I didn't answer your question.
Oh, no, I think you did about kind of where you're hoping this goes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, definitely hope. I don't know. There's so much crap, you know, the climate change, all the stuff that's going on, so many negative stories, but everything is negative about our attention. And I just feel like there's no future if everything is like Debbie Downer and dark and gloomy. I'm talking not just the United States, I'm talking the whole planet. And I think there's so much more here that we should be accessing. And we should, you know, if you're new age, you know, Aquarius, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, but.
Yeah, I mean, things can definitely seem a little bleak right now, but I feel very hopeful as well. I think that, you know, there's so many impossible and really positive things happening all the time. And I see it in this work constantly. And I see people, you know, waking up and the stigma slowly being chipped away at. And, you know, when impossible things can happen, then like fatalism suddenly becomes pointless, right? It becomes a lie. It becomes ultimately just a choice. Like, because it seems like things can get better and that there is something helping us. That's definitely the sense that I get.
Yeah. And actually, there's one other thing to answer that question, because it's a big piece of it. I don't think AI, the technology in AI is the thing. I do think the AI is over here with the technology. And what I'm talking about is over here. I'm talking about the environmental and the organic, the non-human, the spiritual realm, not just spiritual, but the hidden biosphere realm. I think there's something there that is better for humans. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Luddite. I mean, technology is important, but I just think there's so much more intelligence and creativity there that will benefit mankind as much as the AI side of it, you know, traditional technology AI. And it will be able to answer questions that AI can't possibly answer. We will be able to answer questions, which is not the way people are thinking right now, but that's definitely the way I'm thinking.
Yeah, that resonates for me. So we are coming up to the end of the public first hour of this show. We're getting ready to say goodbye. And if you would like to listen to the last 30 minutes of this show, where I'm going to get even deeper into the deep end with Tom, you can become a member at unknowncountry.com. And that last half hour will be available there. Tom, before we sign off with some of our audience right now, can you tell people where they can find you, how they can reach out to you, all of that?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Tom Matt Upside Vision. The book Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness. It is about my year journey, my wild ride. It's a hell of a ride. It's not learning how to do upside. I want to be very clear about that. But I will say this, a message of hope. If you have somebody with an addiction issue, they can get out of it no matter how far down they are, right? Really, really important, because people are like, Tom's never coming back. Tom's never coming back. Guess what? I came back. And believe me, I was, like I said, psych ward, all the things, homeless, unbelievable stuff. But you can come back from it. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. If you want to read that story, you can definitely check that out. And you can find me at tom-matt.com. You can find my website and see other podcasts I've done. And you can also download the 8 Stages of Upside Vision on that website.
Amazing. And I'll do my best to have that all linked up in the episode description so people can find it. And so we will say goodbye to everyone and then move on to the last part of the show.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
So, Tom, you and I have a very interesting history. I have to say that, like, my experience that I've had with you over the last few years has been one of the strangest and most challenging, but also, like, most beneficial interactions I've ever had with somebody. And the fact that, like, we started out as strangers and that these weird things that have happened have been have led to such a profound change in me. Like, I mean, I don't know if I've said this to you directly before, but like, I would not be where I am in my understanding of the phenomenon, or I think even where I am with the work, like, if I hadn't had this experience with you. And there's something in that that I feel like is really magical. Like, in some ways, I feel it's hard for me to know exactly what it all means, but I feel like at least one part of it is that, like, I was supposed to meet you because you pushed me to an understanding that it would have been harder for me to get to if I hadn't been kind of challenged in that way. So first, before we talk about it, I just want to say thank you for that. Because
yeah, that makes you feel good. And I appreciate that. And I have to say, I feel the same way. It's really interesting because you put a framework about talking about this non-human intelligence side of it that a lot of people in the UFO community don't start with. So that was really good for me. And the fact that you and I came into it at the same time was probably the most important thing, right? You were finding your way, different path, but you were finding your way in this community the same way I was, right? I was like a researcher. I was like, all right, let me see what's going on over here. Because again, if our government is talking about this, there might be something worth talking about, worth looking at now. Now, since I've come to find out that this community and the leaders in this community seem like they're, you know, being puppeted or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's still important. I still got valuable information. Even knowing that is valuable. Even making it so obvious. If you've paid attention for the last 4 years, you're like, okay, I get it. Side A, side B, side A, side B. I get it. Okay. But I don't think we're going to get answers yet, at least the way I want them. But the phenomena doesn't care about that at all. The phenomena is doing is its own thing with people as it chooses. And these non-human intelligence, obviously some care about it or there wouldn't be a discussion with the government, but others don't. What's really, really interesting, Kelly, from a perspective of upside and connecting people that might not have connected, is that, as I said earlier, a lot of people have come forward and say they can do this. One of the things... Okay. And actually, let me take a step back. So when I am using Upsight, I can go, it's scalable, right? You're talking about galaxies far out there. There's another element, which is not typically discussed. At least I don't think it's discussed when people are remote viewing or astral projection, is that I'm seeing something at a quantum level. I'm seeing something at the small level, right? One of the things that I see, I've saw years and years ago, one of the first things I've seen was the DNA strand surrounded by the rings are inside the DNA, and these candy cane hooks would hang from this thing with a stream of some kind of energy going through it. Now, that does not exist. You don't look through an electron microscope or any kind of microscope and see that, right? This image is like, wow, that's a great imagination. How'd you come up with that? I didn't come up with anything. I see it. So the question is, what part of this, I don't want to call it the electromagnetic spectrum, but what part of the spectrum is my eye seeing that most people can't see, right? Now, what's cool is that you are one, actually, no, not one. You are literally the only person, the only one that's come forward and said they saw the candy canes, right? Now, there's a before picture of the candy cane, and I have this on my YouTube page, and I have it in this video that I have on YouTube, and there's a before and there after picture. The candy canes that I, the image I've shared again and again, that is a snapshot. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that when you see a cell division, when you have 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and then you turn into a human or a frog, there's something that happens before the candy canes and there's something that happens after. I'm going to use that as a control to see if, in fact, a bunch of us are seeing the same thing, seeing this. Well, it's not a chemical element. I have no idea how to describe it. This element, this change at this subatomic invisible level happen in the same way. Because if six of us see the same thing, that means there's something there. There's an object there for us to see. Now, I know obviously for me it is. I could talk about that all day long, but it doesn't matter until other people do it. We have to have this shared experience. And what it is it the way to control DNA that we are forget CRISPR and all that? Is there another way? I mean, I'm not a biologist. I literally don't even want to start thinking about biology, enough of the math, right? But I think the answer is yes. I think there's a way that we can do things before we even get to the CRISPR level, but I don't know what they are. So that blows my mind, right? That I think you and I have that connection right there. And that's where there's a part of you, you're like, hold on, something's going on here. Same with me.
Yeah, like to catch the audience up a little. So some people may have already heard this episode on the UFO rabbit hole, but and you can definitely check it out there. I won't go into the whole story. It's very, very long. But long story short, in August of 2021, I had a very profound anomalous experience where I experienced a completely different state of consciousness. It's hard to explain quickly, but it happened very, very quickly. I saw all sorts of things. It changed who I am as a person. It set me on this path so that I'm doing this work now. And I came out of that experience not being able to remember. I know that I was shown a lot and I saw kind of everything, but I can't remember it. Like it's slips away from me as soon as I try to think about it. But there are a few things that I was able to take back. And because there's just a few things I was able to take back, that felt very intentional to me. It felt like there were, I still have no idea what happened to me, but it felt like there was, the things I was able to remember, there was a reason I was able to remember it. But I couldn't figure out what it was. And one of the things that I saw that I could remember afterwards was this strand of DNA that looked exactly like what Tom's describing. It had, you know, these rings around the outside with like the candy canes that hang on them and the stream of energy going up the middle. And I thought maybe this was something that was real that I just forgotten from biology class. I went and looked everywhere. I tried to find this. And like Tom said, you will find no record of this anywhere. Like it's not, this isn't some idea that's out there. This seems to be like a novel image in many ways. And so when I had gotten to know Tom a little bit and he sent me a paper that he had written about this that had the image, and I'll make sure the image is linked up in the episode description so people can see it. I flipped out. I flipped out because it's just, you know, I can't prove that to anyone. I can't, that was just what I saw in my experience, but like, certainly, of all the things I could have brought back with me or some story I could have told about what happened to me, like that's not the one I would have told. Like I was very challenged by that. Like Tom remembers when we first had that conversation, like my overwhelming response was anger because I was just like, what the heck is going on? Like who is doing this to me? Like who is in my brain? Like how is this happening? And so I still don't know what that is. I'm very like interested in and think that like your theories could absolutely be valid about what's going on with the DNA. Another theory that I've heard that I think is interesting as well. I also don't know if that's what's going on, but for anybody who's seen my new show Cosmosis that just premiered earlier, just a few weeks ago, one of the experiencers that we feature in that, Courtney LaFall, reached out to me after listening to that episode that where I talked about the candy canes, and he offered the idea. He was like, what if it's like encryption? What if this novel image that you saw and then that I saw was almost like an encrypted message that just was meant to do exactly what it did, which was like bring us together and make it clear to both of us that like there was something that like we had work to do together, that there was something, that there was some reason that I needed to talk to you in particular. And after I saw that, I knew I couldn't let it go. Like there was no way that I was going to be able to just walk away from this story, because like, how did I, as random as it is and as weird as it is, and I know nothing about DNA and I don't know what to do with that information, like how do I explain the fact that you wrote a paper and created a whole image and illustration of the exact thing that's like one of like five things that I can remember from my anomalous experience? Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah. And that's good. I'm down for that. Right. Because it certainly did happen that way. Yeah. And bringing us together in itself is getting this message out and, to bring other people, almost like a magnet, for lack of another word, you know, just encryption. If it feels like that's right, but it also feels like there's more to it. If you saw the rest of it, what I see, there's more to it. You know, the other image that is non-traditional that I see is stepping outside of my brain and having a side view of a rainbow. There's no side view of a rainbow, right? It's an illusion. So there's a side view of a rainbow, these other elements, and the rainbows are funnels, one coming towards you, one going away. That doesn't exist. But yeah, here it does. And whatever this other element, it does. And it shows exactly how. And I've drawn pictures of that. Again, I think it's, again, dark matter, something that our electromagnetic spectrum doesn't pick up, but we do. It does, in fact, interact with us, right? That's the key. Even though it doesn't pick up, it doesn't mean it doesn't influence it. That's what all this telepathy stuff is, right? Where these skeptics are so smug about, you know, this physical stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous because skeptics typically are smart, right? A lot of skeptics are smart people, but they seem to draw this line in their brain and they can't get past it because they can't measure it or can't figure it out. As if we're not using Wi-Fi, as if we're not sending messages all the time. It's nonsense. It's just wild. And I think that's where the future. Everyone's, again, I'll beat this forever because this is where I feel I should talk about. Everyone's talking about AI. There will be an AT&T for this kind of communication. There'll be a Verizon Wireless for this kind of communication. I don't know if it's going to be 100 years. I don't know if it's going to be 30. I truly believe that. It is not mind reading. That's what scares people. Wow, somebody's meeting my mind. No, it's reading a part of the brain. No, there's a part of your brain that's giving a message that is below your conscious experience or your conscious understanding. Actually, that's not true either. You're consciously aware of it. You're just not, you're thinking it instead of saying it. There's something there where we will start to realize, okay, we can communicate at that level. With certain people, again, I don't know what the next step is, the exact next step, but I just know that if we invest in this the same way we invest in AI, we can make the same progress. It's like what Tesla said. When we invest in the non-physical, we're going to mankind is going to go farther in 10 years than the last 100. I believe that starts now. I believe that starts in 2025.
Mm. How do you think this relates to, you know, there's increasingly these ideas about the simulation, that we're somehow living in some kind of a simulation, if not literally in like a server matrix style, but that there's something about our, or maybe everything about our lived experience is some kind, is artificial or simulated in some way. How do you relate that idea, or do you relate that idea to Upsite? Like, how does that all sound to you?
Yeah, I, so it's weird to think that you're a Christian, but believe that there's a simulation, you know, but that's where I am. I can hold those two. I can hold those two beliefs, right? And I do. I think that's where I do think it's a simulation. Now, who created it, right? What is the creator? That's the thing. I love the word firmament. I mean, that's in the Bible. It's like, I feel like that's kind of where I'm playing. I feel like this firmament in the Bible is part of the simulation. And that's where this wall is between this realm and another. I don't know if that's the kind of answer you want, but it makes complete sense to me. And everything, and I feel like I'm hacking the simulation, right? I talk about that in my Danny Jones podcast. I played a video. A woman named Dana Kippel and I were thinking about doing the show. We had the whole thing laid out. It's kind of in limbo right now, but it was called Hacking the Simulation because we were going to talk to all these people, the simulation hypothesis, because everything is pointing to, or maybe this is a copy of a copy or a simulation of some kind. And we can access this with our brains. We are learning to access it with these suppressed skills. You know, maybe we used to access it before. I don't know. I don't even want to get into archaeology and all those, the pine cones and all the things you see across the globe from different eras and stuff, like different epics and their similarity. I want to get into Antarctica. All I can speak to is what I can do, right? All I can speak to what I can do. And I will say this one thing, my mathematical mind, and this is really important for the simulation from my perspective, my mathematical mind, I'm okay math. I'm not a whiz or anything like that. But the topological spaces and the manifolds and all these things, forget it. I like whiz bang, like a super, I call myself a super ninja. There's no shape that I can't squeeze down, fold, manifest in my field of vision, and cut into a million pieces and put it back together. That's where this excels. And that should also be studied. You know, that's something, there's the geometry of the universe, right? The calculus of the universe. And I have access to it for some reason. And I think other people as well. And I also think if 10 of us in a room, we didn't talk about this at all. I think we can amplify it like a chorus, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I said about the Greys, the story of the Greys? I think they work together like that because they're stronger and they needed that coverage. Now that makes complete sense to me, right? From a hologram. I mean, you know, you got the lights around. Who knows what they're doing? Who knows what their biological, whatever the eyes are because of the size of it. But I think the more people, when you have more brains on anything, it's more powerful, right? As long as everyone's on the same, trying to have the same goal.
Yeah. This might sound like a weird question. I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase it, but, you talked about how UpSight can be sort of like walking into a forest and there's stuff in there, animal creatures, beings in there that kind of pay attention to you as you show up because you're moving into their space. Do you get the sense, I know it's probably impossible to know for sure, like is that a place where they're just like hanging out and that they also have access to? Or do you have the sense that that's like what they're, that space is maybe their like native space?
No, I don't know yet. First of all, I think that the short answer is I think they go there, mm-hmm. but I think they go there a lot, kind of like humans surf the net, right? So they're definitely more comfortable there than we are, right? So I think it's a place they go, they monitor, they look. Yeah, that's really, really good question. I don't think that's their physical space. Now, maybe some of them, like the machine elves, it is, I don't know. And I think about that question a lot. I really do.
Yeah. No, I find that fascinating. I have been thinking about that for a while. I just wonder, you know, there's this idea that like if this is a simulation, like, is that also a simulation? Like, is that like a tool or like a realm that's adjacent to this one? Or like, but maybe not base reality. Like, what is, I don't know that we have a sense of base reality.
Well, let's talk about that. Let me be clear on that too. So it's still a biosphere. I still think it's here, right? I don't mm-hmm. think it's out there.
Right.
So if I lick, I get my attention. I think it's here, right? So it's almost like a worm picking up a head outside the dirt and you've got, you know, this garden. I think it's literally like that. It's there. Now, whether it's there, that's where they live all the time, or they're visiting too, or wherever they're coming from, maybe that is another degree away. I don't know. I don't think it's a demon space. Some people talk about that. Don't get me wrong, probably demons, angels, stuff like this. I think this is a biosphere. I think these things can live, however we want to call live and die. They can come in and out of consciousness. Again, it's too soon to tell though. They're a lot of them the reason I'm saying that is because sometimes they present as a demon and then they just turn into something else and you're like, wait a minute, it's trying to scare you. So it's almost like a moth with a snake's face on the back. These things do the same thing. And if it is in fact doing that, that means it has an intelligence. That means it's really not strong, right? It means it's more of a prey than a predator, and it wants to scare you away. It's like, wait, what are they scared of? Have humans been in here? Did they learn to do that? I don't know. I know that sounds bizarre, but that's exactly what goes on from time to time.
Yeah. You know, it makes me wonder, especially because you said you particularly see mantids and grays. And I know, I mean, this happens with all kinds of non-human intelligences and various paranormal phenomena, but I think mantids and grays in particular, seem like, as people describe them, that they're able to kind of just like blip in to our reality, that they can just kind of pop in from somewhere else. And so I wonder, like, is that where they're coming from? Maybe that's where they're coming from. Like, I know you don't know. I'm just wildly speculating.
No, yeah, I agree. And, you know, we haven't talked about this one. And if I would sit there and say which one is guiding me, right? Because I do think I am being helped, right? Mm-hmm. The Egyptian god Thule, T-H-U-L-E, is that the one that looks like a bird? That one, for whatever reason, that seems to be the most benevolent. And that is literally... I haven't get into the story. I don't want to get into this too long, but those are kind, and they seem to be like helpful. So the new question is, are they're like, why are they helpful? Right. I've said this before. This is our world. I mean, ours, us and theirs, right? Not just humans. So if these living beings, it's their world too, they're not going to let us blow up our nuclear bombs. So they're going to stop that. Right. And if something is coming from another planet or another galaxy, however it's going to get here through a wormhole, they're interested in making sure they don't screw it up too. If they need our help to make sure that doesn't happen, maybe that's why they're talking to us. You're like, okay, listen, we can't do this without I love when I start talking like this. We can't do this without the humans. We need their help. But I don't know. Again.
Yeah. You know, you've got to read Whitley's new book. I think there's so much there's differences, but there's a lot of overlap in what you're saying with what Whitley's saying in his book, which I think is really fascinating. I'd love to ask about mantids because I love mantids for some reason. That's the one that, like, if I could see, I've never seen a being. Like, I've had all kinds of anomalous experiences, but I've never had that experience. And, like, if I could choose, I would love to see a mantid. I'm sure I probably wouldn't from speaking to people who have seen them, that I probably
wouldn't. You mean, like, in 3D?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, no, I can't. That would be too terrifying. Yeah, I mean, no,
I'm sure I'd immediately regret it. Careful what you wish for, but I'm fascinated by them. What do you get a sense about their nature? Like, do you get any kind of sense? Like, are they trickstery? Are they benevolent? Are they scary?
No, that's fair. Again, I don't know if this is influenced by the stories I've read about people being terrified because they saw them in real world, right? Mm-hmm. I've read a story about this guy that was walking, I don't know where he was in Africa. He was terrified. He looked around. He wasn't even looking. He looked around and there was this giant mantid, and he was like, he knew he was going to be gone. And the mantid was projecting this fear into him. Okay. So that definitely influences this answer.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's another thing that's going to influence this answer too. This is what I was saying earlier about, I said this in the first podcast. I don't like saying it, but it makes sense for this. There was a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket. It could not, with baby parts in it, right? It was horrible. And there was a mantid next to it. So I was like, you know, in hologram. So that was creepy. Now, both those scary stories aside, I've absolutely had indifferent mantids looking, right? Just checking out. So I think maybe they're like humans, horrible, nice. I don't know. And they have to survive. I don't know. Again, it's not the answer you want, but that's all I can give you. I know they're smart, intelligent, for sure intelligence, but absolutely intelligent.
Do you ever see, like, grays and mantids at the same time, or are they usually kind of in a different, is that like, are they?
I've never seen a civilization ever, 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 ever. So that intrigues me, right? I've never been on this whole planet or whatever. I don't think I've ever seen them at the same time. I have to think. No, I don't think so. I've not seen any, wow. I've never seen any cross species non-human intelligence at the same time. And I wonder if that's because this holographic space is that this thing is projecting and I'm picking up that, you know what I mean? The strongest image. So not that they're not there, but I just can't see it, right? It's like the loudest person in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what you're observing may only be a small part of a larger ecosystem or environment.
Yeah.
Potentially.
And I don't know what the government is doing around all this stuff. I don't know what they know, but I would imagine, and I'll tell you this, that I don't ever see, I rarely see people, right? I saw Lou Elizondo. Time out. I've seen my family because I go back in time and see my kids play. We didn't talk about the precog and I don't have much time left, but you know, I can go in the past. I can watch events, whether they're really like that or not. I don't know. I can do future events, whether they really happen or not. I don't know. But so I see my family in this space, right? Silhouettes of them. I saw Lou Elizondo, which was really interesting, about 4 years ago at his desk one time. And once I knew I was on Danny Jones' podcast, right? Once I was invited there, I started to see, this is wild. Let's see if this happens, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Joe Rogan across from me at his show, right? Mm-hmm. On his show. And I'm like, wow. I mean, of course, who did we want that? So it's almost like manifesting. But the fact that I saw it and I've seen it again and again, it's a persistent image. I find that really intriguing. And he's writing on a yellow piece of paper and I'm writing on a yellow piece of paper, kind of like across from each other, kind of like the Escher paint with the hands, So I rarely see people. The point of that is I rarely see people. And when I do, I don't know if it's, again, a real person, silhouette of a person, a reflection of a person, the memory of a person.
Do you get, like, the way that grays or, you know, any of these other beings that you see and see through upsight can, like, notice you sometimes, do the humans ever notice you or do they seem more like a?
So I told this story a long time ago, too. I'm watching on, I don't know if this is, it's an off the book submarine, right? An off the book submarine. And the guy that was in charge, I don't know what you call the person in charge. He gave me, it was like this white supremacist symbol. It was bad. Yeah, it was creepy. I don't know if his future, I don't know if his past, but I was like, what the? He knew I was watching him and he gave me that symbol. Yeah, it was weird. It was really uncomfortable.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Weird. I love that we're doing this because I'm hearing things I haven't heard before and we've been talking about this for a long time.
Off the books, submarine, the guy noticed and he did that. So, and he's the only human that's ever, the only human that ever responded. So I don't even know if it was human. It could have been somebody like a human, but it was weird. It was weird. And I was like this. Some of the times the experiences you're like uncomfortable with afterward, that one was like, wait, what is that about?
Yeah. Do you, this might be a darker question to end on.
Go ahead. Let's go dark.
But do you, I will say that something that I've worried about with you, like for you, is just that having confirmation that upsight is real, or even, you know, what's going on with the telepathy tapes and those kids. I think that my concern is that, number one, I think the government already knows. And as we've seen through stories like with, you know, Jake Barber's story that's just coming out, they know that there are people who have superhuman abilities that are beyond what we would ever think that's possible, that are much more close to like maybe a superhero or, you know, a story or Harry Potter. You know what I mean? Like these, yeah. It's like to us, it's fiction, but it's clearly to our government, it's not fiction. And they use it. And so I guess I worry about people who have those kinds of abilities and whether or not they can be exploited in some way or, you know what I mean? I worry.
No, I've thought about that and I've asked people about it in the community, intelligence community. And the answer I get, until I can find the submarine off the coast of New Jersey or whatever, they won't be interested. And I can't. I've said that many times. I can't do that remote viewing. I can't hit a target. You know what I mean? I cannot do that. And I can't see the Epstein suicide. It gives a smoky thing. It will not let me do certain things that are that would damage, at least this is how I looked at it, because I literally can't. I can't see Area 51. I can't see the Epstein suicide. I think it's a survival thing. It's not, it knows it's a dangerous thing to do, to look at. So it won't let me see it. So it puts up a smoky haze or something like that. It's almost like an intellectual version of putting your hand closer to a stove instead of getting hot, right? You're going to move it away. It does this. So if it makes me want to, it makes me stop. And I don't push through because I'm not, you know, I don't want to do that. This in itself is extraordinary enough. Seeing something I don't want to see, you know, what's the payoff of that? I don't want to see it. Right? I don't want to see Epstein kill himself. Okay.
Right. Well, speaking of that, I think this will be a fun place to end it. Maybe a fun Easter egg for later. If you're comfortable talking about it, is just yesterday we heard that Trump has put out an executive order, and they're supposed to be releasing the JFK, MLK, and RFK assassination documents. We know that sometimes Upsite, as you said, shows you things that aren't true or like tricksters you all over the place, but it has shown you the JFK assassination. Just for fun, would you mind talking about that? And then, because at some point in the next few months, allegedly, we might actually find out what happened. So
yeah, let's finish that. So here's the thing. So I watched that. Now, there is a video. Everyone knows about the Zapruder film, right? If you watch it, watch it. Okay. It's the first shot. This is the first shot that you can't tell where it's coming from. You know, everyone says you shot in the back, go through here, shot in the head, blah, blah, blah. Some people say the driver turn around. And I see that too, but I saw this after a tape. But here's the kicker. The car, the shot came from inside the car. Right in between that, there was a place where he was laid down, rifle there, was canvas shot. He shot him right here. If you notice, JFK grabs the front of his throat. I don't know anybody that would get shot in the back, grab the front of it. But you also notice, because I noticed these things after I saw this with the Upsite, mm-hmm. is that Connolly jumps. Like there's a sound next to him. It's the wildest thing. After I saw that, I'm like, well, let me see if there's any other tells from the video that the sound came from, you know, that there was something. So that's what it is. It shows me a sniper on his back, a can't miss shot in the car on his back, and he shoots the first one in his neck and the second one in his head. But the second one, there was another shot too, whatever happened to it. But I've also seen, and this is what influences Upsite, is that the driver, I've seen a video where the driver turns around and shoots Kennedy too. So to me, that's what is Upsite is showing me too. But there's the only vision I have is the guy from Upsite that's not been influenced by any other images inside the car. Now, I don't think they're going to say that. There's no way. I don't care what. But watch Connolly jump and you'll think, oh, that makes sense. Watch Kennedy hold the front of his throat and you'll see it make sense. But, and I also said the car's lower because there's probably 500 pounds between what he has to lay on, the guns, and the weight of the man should be lower.
So he's like in a compartment kind of under the floor.
Exactly. He's in a compartment, yeah. And it should be lower than it would the car of that weight. I said, a physicist could do the math maybe.
Right.
Where the wheel should be close to the ground and where it really is. Anyway, so we will see. But if they say that, wow. People are going to be very curious if that is in fact 100%, if they admit that.
Yeah. No, I'm just fascinated to see what they're going to say. I think, yeah. I mean, obviously, you're not saying like, you know, for sure that's what happened.
That shows me lies. I will see a Kentucky Derby and I'll bet on the race and it's not what happened. So happens all the time. I mean, I'd stop doing that because it's dumb.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Tom, this has been so fun. This interview has been such a long time in the making. I'm so glad we got to finally do it. I'm so happy for you. I really am. I just think that like you have been so persistent and so courageous through all of this. I think so many other people would have just given up and you just have not. And I'm just so glad to see you at this place. And I can't wait to see what happens next for you.
Yeah, this has been fun. I'm glad to see your career taking off too. So this is very exciting, Kelly. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening. Dreamland is brought to you by Unknown Country and its family of subscribers. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our site coordinator is Amy Safrankova. The founder of UnknownCountry.com is Ann Strieber. I'm Whitley Strieber, your host for Dreamland.